Those who follow the uneducated or the unlettered messenger prophet, who they find written in the Torah and in the Injil. Let no one make you feel that Prophet Muhammad is a black sheep among the prophets. Prophet Muhammad comes in the line of the prophet, and Prophet Muhammad is missing in the scriptures of the prophet. Prophet Muhammad is the one to complete that line of the prophet, the one to bring us the full message for our full life. But they have selfishly denied the last prophet his recognition. Due respect, due recognition. Dear beloved people, let us continue and read further. This prophet, he is not just a prophet to call the people to faith or to virtue, but he is a leader for the people. He's a prophet bringing instruction, and he's a prophet to be an example for all human beings. He is the prophet, the human prophet, the example for all human beings. I am emphasizing this attribute because we are human beings. And Allah has said in the Quran, praise be to Him Most High, He says, if there had been angels populating the earth, He would have sent an angel as a messenger. Since there was mortal human beings in communities on the earth, He sent a mortal human being as a messenger. This is not to be construed or interpreted as to favor any weaknesses on our part. This is not to say that a mortal is weak. This is to say that a mortal is more excellent than an angel. Allah has said in the Quran that He has created the human being a degree above the angel. Why? Because we have freedom of judgment. We have freedom of judgment. The angel has no freedom of judgment. The angel can do nothing but carry out the nature God gave him, follow that nature, and obey that nature. He cannot have freedom of judgment. The angel is not like human beings, tested by sexual appetite, tested by food, tested by anger, tested by frustrations, and tested by hatred and wars, tested by the temptation to take something without being taught when it's right there, and knowing that it is wrong, you see? But he's tested, and he's starving, he needs something very badly, and he's tested. The angel is not tested like that. He has not the nature, the angel has not the nature to be tested like that, and the angel has not the ability, he has not the power of independent judgment. Of individual judgment. I know that none of us are independent of God, and we can't will except but as Allah wills, but we have been given a limited freedom, and in that limited freedom we exercise our own personal judgment. Is that right? Yes. So we understand that we are more excellent than the angel if we can follow Allah's guidance. The angel followed without any thought, without any temptation. We follow it with temptation. We follow it without any inclination. We follow it against inclination and in spite of inclination, and we follow it because of inclination. So we have to war and fight and struggle with our inclination, and we have to use good judgment. And we submit all of that after it's been given to us, we submit it all back to God. And Lord God, I don't want to use this independent judgment. if it is not what you want. So you have given me this power, but I give it back to you. Now you tell me how to use it. Don't you think that's better than the angel who never got it to give it back? Yes. So we must understand that Prophet Muhammad is a human being messenger. And this is not saying that he's less than Jesus Christ. This is not saying that he's less than those who live pure lives, ascetic, monks. This is saying he's more than they are. Because they have resigned themselves to a life away from the influences. They have taken themselves out of the challenge. They have taken themselves away from the temptation. They have cut themselves off from the field of human exploration and human cultivation. And they have become angels in their minds, in their attitudes, and in their spirit. So they are not in touch with the world. They don't feel what happens in the gutter. They don't feel what happens in their ghetto with their wine and their whiskey and their narcotics and their heroin and their reefers and the whores and all these things all around us. They are free from that. They escape that. They run off and leave all of that. And they claim a purity and they claim an excellence. But how excellent is the man who can live among the Jahiliyyah, live among the filthy Jahiliyyah, and then rise up and call them to strength and tell them, in all of my 40 years, I have not fallen to your corruption. Yes, this is the human messenger for human beings. All praise is due to Allah. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. La ilaha illallah. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Wa lillahi alhamd. All praise is due to Allah. Highly glorified is He. Subhanahu bukratan wa asila. Highly glorified is He in the most early time of the day and at the most extreme time of the day. Some of us, we can be all right when we're little children, but as we grow older, we begin to be corrupt. When some of us come up corrupt as youngsters, but when we get old, we think of being serious, and we start praising God. If you notice, the seasons of the world go like that. We come into a season in our own nation, in our own country, America, where the people are morally conscious, and they're just like little babies. They're all so sweet and courteous. Don't you remember a time in America when people used to say, "Good morning, how are you?" And when people used to say a bad word, they say, "Oop." Yeah. You remember that? Yeah. And you remember how this society got older and began to get more and more corrupt? And now it doesn't remember God. It plays the thought of God lightly, takes it for a joke, many of them. And corruption is just spreading and spreading and spreading and rising, drowning us in corruption. Well, as the seasons pass over, they'll pass over one day. It's not going to stay this way. The season will pass over, and this one will die, and another one will come to birth, and they will be exchanging courtesies. But that sign is already here. You find different people saying, "May you have a good day. May you have a good day. Have a good night." That just came recently, didn't it? Yes. Yes. Have a good day. So we see it's trying to come back. They died, now they're trying to come back. Isn't it wonderful that Allah has left us to the fate of season? We are not left to the fate of the season. This world will be tested and it will be burdened, and they will break down under the burden because they don't have a strong enough light guidance in their life to save them. The Muslim never should die in a moral death in this world. Die not unless you are Muslim. Why? Because we know how to die before the world says die. We know how to die before the season says it's time to die. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, die so you will not have to die. Or die before you die. Problem out of it. Die before you die. Die before you die. What is the death that we die before we die? We die to the temptations. We die to the inclination to follow the world's leadership. We die to that. We die to the influences of materialism. We die to the influences of a flamboyant speaker. A great orator. We die to the influences of man and society. And we live to the influences of Allah's guidance. And when we live to the influences of Allah's guidance, we don't have to die anymore. So when the seasons of death come, they shouldn't test the believer. The seasons shouldn't test the believer. And he dies, he should still be alive while others are dying. There's no season of immorality for Muslims. We should always have morality and strong morality. There's seasons of immorality for those who are victims of the circumstances and influences of the world. Yes, and where can we find me a nation that survived the season? Huh? America doesn't survive the season. In my own life, I've seen several seasons come and go. Now imagine if we really had the whole history of America right before us, where we could see it, we would see many lives coming and going. Whole societies coming to life in human sentiment and dying to human sentiment and falling in moral corruption. Just over and over again, almost with the fashion industry. Fashion industry almost have complete manipulative power, dominance over our moral life. We change the fashion, our morals go out the window. They come back in with a little decent trend, advocating decency, and the decency come back to life. Don't you know if the morals of a people can be manipulated? If the morals of a people can be manipulated, those who manipulate your morals master you. Those who manipulate your morals have complete control of your life. Those who manipulate your morals decide your future. You don't have any destiny within your own control if your life is decided by those who manipulate your morals. Because once your morals are corrupt, you are irrationally blind. There's no such thing as moral corruption and rational vision. When your moral is corrupt, you're rationally blind. You can follow the logic of Einstein, the logic of any of the great philosophers, but if your moral is corrupt, that logic is just a blind instrument. If you can't use it, you can't follow the direction, you can't get the intelligence out of the use of that logic because your eyes are blind. So you think you're living a logical life when you're living an illogical life. When we look at this society today, do we see a logical life? We see a life of ignorance. We see a life of confusion. A life of conflicting values and conflicting moral and principles, and also rational principles. Rational principles don't agree. Moral principles don't agree. The society is ignorant by any good judgment. By any good judgment, the society is ignorant. But if we survive as Muslims and keep our hearts and faith, heart and faith where it should be, and that is in the Quran, and follow the example of Prophet Muhammad, why is it so necessary to follow him as an example? Because human beings are inclined to be arrogant. They're inclined to be self-independent. Inclined to be important, self-important. And we have to follow a model human being who lived a life of respect and faithfulness to God and carried out his duty and discharged it, even though it was against himself, even though it was against his near relatives. He said, if my daughter, Fatima, feel something, I'll cut her hand off. Yes. He didn't compromise. He didn't compromise his mission for nothing. He was a human being. And yet he was so kind and sympathetic. He would share his little morsel of food with others who didn't have anything to eat. While his own stomach was hungry, he would share the little morsel of food. Prophet Muhammad, the example of what we should be, sleeping on his mat. He awakened, and those who saw the prints of his thin mat in his back, the rough thing on the ground, had pushed bricks in his back because his bedding was so thin. So his wife, I believe, she suggested that he have a more comfortable bedding. She should brought to him a more comfortable bedding. He refused it. So he was offered the more comfortable things of this world. How did he put them off? He put them off by saying, I'm in this world only as a traveler. I stop under the shade of a tree. This is not the end of my hope. If this is the end of my hope, then I want everything you can give me. But this is not the end of my hope. I hope to meet God. I hope to be in His presence. I hope to have the Jannah. I hope to have the afterlife. Yes, this is temporarily. And my duty in this is not to eat up this. My duty in this is to see that justice is done toward everybody. And if I have too much, what about the man over there? How can I lie down on this comfortable bed? And so many of them are getting up with prints in their back. Now this time that we live in is not that severe. But still we have to respect the example that Prophet Muhammad set. Today I came to you with nice shoes. I have some things you out of. They were given to me by Brother Clyde Rothman, the Imam of Cleveland. And he told me and said, I know you don't like expensive taste. I like expensive taste. I don't like too much, but I like moderate expensive taste. I like quality. So he said, I know you don't like expensive. I didn't say nothing. I was saying to myself, you don't know. Then he said, but these shoes didn't cost that much, buddy man. He said, I get these shoes wholesale. He said, and this shoe is irregular. So I get it at a good discount. So I took the shoes. He gave me two pairs, a pair of black ones and a pair of brown. There was a young brother in Chicago who doesn't have a job. He struggles for the cause of Allah. But he's with a job and without a job. You know how some people, not because they are lazy, but it's because they have their mind on something else and they won't devote themselves fully to their job. Now, since he's not married, he can be a student somewhere. Because he has nobody but himself. So he was walking around in the wintertime with gym shoes. So I gave him the black pair. They fit him. I was so happy to know that they fit him. I gave him the black pair, but I still got the brown pair. And I was wondering, I said, now, Brother Muhammad, when he was offered the better mat, who do you think? I was offered the better shoes and I accepted it. Well, Allah forgive me. And if anybody wants those shoes, you give me yours, I give you those. They're out there, right out there. All praise is due to Allah. Dear beloved Muslims, society needs knowledge, but almost just as important, they need a leader. Society needs a leader who can carry that knowledge to human dignity, who can be trusted with that knowledge, a leader who can meet the demands of that knowledge on the human being. And that's what Prophet Muhammad is to us. He is the example, he is the leader who brought the knowledge for the full challenge of life. The other prophets, they got knowledge for part of the challenge of life. Prophet Muhammad received the knowledge for the full challenge of life. He was a soldier. He was a leader of government. He fought in the battle. He was a husband. He cleaned the house. He helped his wife at home. He upraised his children. He was a father. He was a husband. He was a soldier. He was a great government leader. He was an economist. He was everything that a human being has to be in order to keep society going. He was a businessman even before he became the messenger of God. He was a businessman, conducting the business, going about doing commerce. Yes, this is a full man, the full man. When he gives the message for the full life, not for his people, for all people. The messenger for the people, all of them. That's what the Quran says. The messenger for the people, all of them. The Pygmies, the Watusi, the French, the Turks, the Chinese, the Spanish, the Japanese, the people of the islands, everybody. He's the messenger for them, all of them. All of them. Didn't leave out another, out of one. Dear beloved brothers and sisters, can we take on responsibility to be an imam, or to be an Islamic teacher, or to be a Muslim period? We take on the burden of that messenger. Because we are to be examples for the people. Allah says in this Quran, He has raised Prophet Muhammad as an example, a witness for you. Because you who are Muslim, you witness to Prophet Muhammad. So you don't expect the Christians to say, yes, I testify. Prophet Muhammad is just that son. Are the Jews or anybody else? This is a Muslim that will say, I testify. But if we testify to the prophethood, the mission of Prophet Muhammad for all the world, then we become then a witness against the people. Yes, because he was a moral human being. And if we mortals can take on this responsibility, if we can run our lives without cheating, if we can run our lives without corruption, if we can run our lives by being fair and honest and decent to everybody, then we are witness against all the people. But you also can do it. You're a human being just like we are. The attitude of the Western world, the Christian world, is that you can only be so good as a human being. But being too good is unrealistic. That you can't have a society without vices. That you can't have courts without double dealing or double standards of justice. That you can't have a society defending righteousness and defending high morals always. You have to turn the commercial people loose on the society in order to keep economy healthy. And when they turn the commercial people loose on the society, the commercial people exploit the ignorance and weaknesses of the people and sell their good life away. Is that right? Bargain and buy and sell their good life away. So, dear brothers and sisters, we have to be an example for all the people of the world. We have to have a just society. We don't have to be a nation to be an example. We are a people. We are a community within a nation. But as a community, we show them that our community operates like Medina operated. No corruption in it. God says, do not mix in your charity anything gotten unlawfully. Yes, that's what Allah says in the Quran. Do not put into charity. Do not spend anything. This word is very big. Zakat is very big. Because zakat covers all of your doing. Your doing to your son, the gift to your children, the gift to your family, the gift to the society. Whatever you give as knowledge, whatever you give as material value, whatever you give as moral, it covers the whole thing. So you're not to mix into that anything that is corrupt. So would you give something into charity that if it was exposed, you would turn away from it yourself? You wouldn't want to own up to it? Yes. So this tells us that this religion obligates us to be morally upright in all of our doings. There's no such thing as a double standard. There's no such thing as doing wrong to achieve a good end. No. No such thing, I repeat, as doing wrong to achieve a good end. Because your doing is your charity. Or either it's your corruption, it's your sin. And if your doing is your charity, then you can't do anything to achieve a good end that is bad. God says, put not that is unclean in your charity. Now, if this world accepts that, if this world accepts that, don't you know there would be no injustice in this society? Again, God says, what God says again? He says that the special home, Dal-Rashira, the special home, the greatest of all possible life that God has promised to us if we win victoriously in this earth. He says he has promised that home to who? Those who desire neither corruption nor a dominance in the earth. Amen. Let me repeat that. Those who desire neither corruption nor a dominance in the earth. Where you read Duna Uluan Alfasada. Well, Alfasada. Where you read Duna Uluan, well, Alfasada. They do not desire any high place above other people. They do not desire a position of dominance. They do not desire a superiority. They do not desire a superiority or a position of dominance in the earth. Wala fasada. And they do not desire any corruption. They do not desire any corruption. There are people who claim self-righteousness. And they say they're going to build the kingdom of God on this earth. People like Governor Reagan. Is that him, governor or senator, or what is he? Precinct captain, he's governor, I think. Governor Reagan. He's making great promises, but how he's going to achieve these ends? He says that America must go back and remember her destiny. If America goes back and remembers her destiny and takes the attitude that some of our presidents have taken, they will throw this world, this country, into more mess than it's in. They will hurt the future more than they have hurt it. Yes, they will be working against the clock. Yes, I remember a time in my own life as a boy, I heard one of our great presidents say, he said, we can police the world. You know, when the Americans, when the Europeans came to America, the early Americans, they talked about the divine destiny of the American people. And they saw America as a hope, as a place for the divine destiny to be realized. And we know what that divine destiny meant to the political, to the land grabbers, to those who were standing and taking over territory and taking over life. We know what it meant to them. That divine destiny was the rule of America in the name of democracy over everybody else. Now I know some of you are shivering in your places and burning up, some of you, because you say he's going to attack something. How can a Muslim live on this earth without attacking everything that's wrong? I'm with President Carter. I don't know who you with. Now, dear beloved people, they conceived the destiny, but that destiny was an arrogant idea. It was an arrogant idea. They conceived an end that was arrogant and selfish. It didn't take into consideration the justice to their fellow man. And we had World War I. A war that was fought for what? Territory. A war fought for territory. Then came World War II. A war fought for what? A war fought for industrial dominance. Industrial dominance. Japan had threatened America with his industry. And Hitler was threatening the world with his machinery, with his great planes and his great army. And the world was being vying with each other. The great powers were vying with each other for industrial dominance. And what happened? They went to war. And it so happened that America came out in the lead. But that lead gradually began to be cut and cut and cut. And now today, America does not have that industrial lead. It's really now a matter of careful decision, a matter of careful calculation to decide who has the industrial lead. Because America has been hurt terribly. But by what? By the hand of the clock. By the hand of the clock. and this is what we must understand, fields of commercial exploit, the fields for the people who traffic in nothing but merchandise and have no respect for human life, that's over. The man doesn't have a gun big as yours, but the man says his land is mine, the resources under the soil is mine, you won't have to deal with me if you want some of it. And the man says the prices you offered last decade will not be accepted today. The man realizes that he was taking advantage of. The man may be in Zimbabwe, the man may be in Sudan, the man may be in China or anywhere. The attitude in the earth has changed. Because the clock is moving on, the hand of the clock says it's not that time anymore. Now, any Reagan or anybody else who's tried to fool the American people and make the American people think that Americans can go back to that arrogant attitude so it thinks it can exercise its will and judgment on the whole world and take their resources and thunder them into here or wherever they want them, and one little nation called America lives fat and rich while other nations get cigarettes and trinkets and toys, that they're crazy in this day and time. They're purely insane in this day and time. Stockpiles of weapons won't work because people are ready to commit suicide before they give up their humanity. People have got a test of justice. They've got a little test case on it. They've tasted justice. They've tasted truth. They know what they need and what their life demands, and they will stand to let a power, no matter how great its arsenal is. They will not stand to let a power take away all their wealth and their riches and leave them begging and suffering without the things that they need while their land has those things. I'm thankful to Allah that we have a president now. And this is not politics, this is the subject. This is the football. This is what we have to see. I'm thankful that we have a president now who is sensitive to the growing demand in the masses of the people of the world for justice and respect for the human being, for the human person. And he says that it's unrealistic for America to think that it can just exercise its will and judgment on people without respecting the will of the people. That day is out. But they want to build up that fervor. For what? Just to satisfy the wealthy. Just to satisfy the rich. They know they can't carry it out. But they don't mind. Those materialistic people who would come into power if we would let them, they don't mind destroying just millions of people. Because the millions to them is a burden. They don't see human life like we see it. If they don't have God for you, if they don't have a mean harness to put around your neck and put you to work so you bring money into them, they say you're useless. So now there's not a lot of jobs around, so they say you're useless. They may look at the masses of the world and adopt them in the same light. They might say the masses of Africa are useless. And they might go over there and drop bombs on them and just wipe them out and take their land. But it won't happen, dear people. The clock has turned. That season is out. That's not going to happen. That's not going to happen. In fact, it's not going to happen in America. They'll have trouble here in America like they've never seen before. When the American people deplored and condemned the Vietnam War, that should have been a sign to our leaders that the people of Earth, have come to a point of human sensitivity wherein they will sacrifice their whole life on earth rather than lose their human life. Yes, America has to realize it. And I think we have people that realize that. And any of us who follow the trends of this political campaign and let the wind, the influences, blow us against our intelligence in a direction toward Reagan or toward somebody else other than President Carter, you'd be making a terrible mistake. Dear beloved brothers and sisters, now I know the world situation. I know President Carter is not a man that is so respected in our eyes as Americans, and he's not so respected in the eyes of the people of the world, but he's the only one that I hear speaking with a recognition of the fact of the world politics today. He's the only one that shows the sensitivity to the time of today. And he's the only one that seems to be humanly sensitive enough to let the country suffer a little bit materially so we can have some kind of human justice. Yes. Now, those who want material things right away, certainly I would like to see the millions in Detroit go back to work. The many thousands that work for the auto industry and for the steel mill. I'd like to see them go back to work. I know they're having a hard time, but I thank Allah that he has brought hard times to the Malayan American. Because Malayan Americans under hard times have a better opportunity to get his morals together than he have under good times. Better opportunity to get his morals together than he have under good times. Moral responsibility. Look how much money the dope pusher get in his hand. The dope pusher's handling thousands, hundreds of thousands. But he never awakens to his moral responsibility. He continues on to corrupt and torture and make hideous the lives of his brothers and sisters. Is that right? Yes. So money is not awakening him to his moral responsibility. So I thank Allah. I'm not going to ask for poverty. But if poverty comes, and I see that in the time of poverty, my moral life needs attention, then I'm going to take some time out. Well, I don't have a job demanding 16 hours of my time. I can't work two shifts. Well, I'm going to take 8 hours and work on my moral. Yes. So I think I lost for a better time. This is a time for America to get the senses back together. Professors back together. And you can never want to live so high on the animal. Yes, so high on the animal. Because everybody can never live that high on the animal. That's a wrong to somebody, if not in your country, in some other country. So we can never want that. Let us work for social justice. Dear beloved brothers and sisters, the time is running short, and I hope to hurry and wind this up. But I have to talk some on the political scene, because we have to know where we go as Muslims. Dear beloved brothers and sisters, there is Iranian people, and we have a crisis. Why? Because our government is in the difficulty with the Iranian people. And because of this, there's a lot of slander. There's a lot of mockery. There's a lot of lies. A lot of propaganda. And we as Muslims shouldn't read the newspapers like non-Muslims. The non-Muslim has been fed prejudice against the religion, prejudice against the Arabs. For hundreds of years in America under Western culture. The non-Muslim has been prejudiced against the religion. So when he reads the newspaper and he says Imam Khomeini is a fanatic, he might buy that. But let me tell you something that I've experienced here recently. I find that there are many, non-Muslims that are willing to give Khomeini justice than they are so-called Muslims. So-called Muslims without modesty, they have the impulse or inclination to just say, oh, he's a fanatic. Have you met him? Is he a fanatic for saying I want my religion back? Is he a fanatic for saying we don't want this wealth to tie us over our backs? We want social justice? Is he a tyrant for saying I want my women to dress in long clothes? Is he a tyrant? I'm a tyrant. Because I ask the Muslim women here to wear long clothes, to cover themselves up, to go modest and decent, to follow the Quran. And I ask you to stay away from gambling, to stay away from intoxication, drugs and liquors, to stay away from prostitute houses, to stay away from indecency.
Well, he is a fanatic. I'm a fanatic too. Yes. And if he's a fanatic, then Karl Marx is a fanatic. Because Karl Marx says the communist people cannot succeed with vice. They first have to wipe out vice. They first have to establish some decency in society. I went to communist China called Red China. And I found that the women there were all covered up. My whole time in communist China, 2 weeks or more, I didn't see no thighs of no woman in communist China. I saw no breasts of any woman in communist China. I didn't see dope. I didn't see drunkards in communist China. They came into power, and the first thing they did was wipe out the dope addicts. They moved the dope addicts out. They got rid of all the dope pushers. The first thing they did was got rid of the dope. They got rid of the liquor houses. They got rid of the prostitute dens. They declared a war against vice. Now, if it's insane for Khomeini to declare a war against vice, then the communist world is insane, morally speaking. So you have to be rational. You have to be able to hear what the devil is saying. This world is filled with the language of the devil. This world speaks with the angel tongue, but also with the devil's tongue. And it will make you think that something is right and just. Oh, yes, who would say they shouldn't tell the women? Women should be free. They shouldn't tell the women they have to wear those old long black bobs. We should teach our women intelligence, if they don't have it. Look, the state of this society tells us that the women, by law, are not their own leaders. The women follow the man. And they don't follow me. They don't follow you. They follow the leadership in Paris. The leadership in England. They follow the fashion setters. Who set the fashion? And if they say go out dressed like the woman come out just a nice, majority of the women, if they say run out to, majority of the women, what? That's a nice. Majority of the women, if they say you wear Nazi, majority of the women wear Nazi. And they all say, oh, we got a community on us. Tell them not to wear Nazi. I don't like this Nazi. And then the change, and then later, and they say, wait, look. We've got rid of all the overstock. It's hurting us now to put all that cloth into long dresses. Let's be reasonable. We have to shorten the dress. We can make more money. The man is there, so we can make more money. When the man is not there and they got a lot of stock, they have to get rid of it. So they make the clothes longer, put more material, more yardage in the material. Because if they don't, they're going to go to waste anyway. They got to overstock of these materials. So when the time comes and they don't have an overstock and the man is there, they say, look, why put all this material in one long dress so you can get three out of it? So the fashion change. And your wife come out last year, she was wearing her dress down to her ankle. She had on a mastic. Or down to the calf. Some of them were wearing them down to the ankle. And now this year, everything is safe. Woman going out there with a, what they call it, a tee-tee? The little thing, the little dance girl dances on the stage, you know, tee-tee, I think they call it. Nothing but a little fan on her hip. A little fan umbrella around her hip. You can see her underclothes. Now, you know this effect. Walking down the street, the dresses went up one time, just that short. So you can walk behind a woman and you see her underclothes up under her dress. Just that short. Now, who is more insane? The woman that follows the fashion, the dictate of the commercial enterprise in America, to that extent, well, today she's in a long dress and decent like a mother, like a lady, and next year she's wearing something to make her look like a prostitute? Tell me, who's more enslaved? Our woman in America that follows that, or the woman in Iran that say, I want to do what God says. I want to cover myself up and go modest. I don't like this way, this fashion, this dress, that this talent, this beauty, American nut, Muslim brought on us. That's what he was. Nothing but an American nut. What I mean by that, he bought friendship with America at the cost of losing friendship with Muslims. So he was American nut. And the result is that now he is adopted by the American people. The American people now abandon him. He's in his grave now. May he rest in hell. I'm sure that's where he is. May he rest in hell for as long as God will. Now, if he was here, and the American people, they turned their back on him. Do you think anybody respects you when you sell out your precious life to please them? No, nobody will respect you. You want respect in America? Do you think any of you are more respected than me in America? The president know my life, I'm sure did. CIA, the FBI, I'm sure they told him whatever he needed to know. He knows my life. What I tell you here, I do it at home. I do it in secrecy. I don't commit adultery. I don't drink whiskey. I don't use narcotics. I don't break Islamic law. The laws I break are very small laws. And when I break a very small law, if it comes to my conscience, I plead to Allah for forgiveness. They watch me. I'm sure they got my phone bugged. They got the house locked.